Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We are delighted to have Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the independent first elected in 2006, back with us. Bernie, welcome back. So glad to see you.
Good to be with you.
Okay. Let's start about the budget negotiations and what people should know about what's going on.
Well, I think the main point to know is that in a time when many, many people in this country are hurting, when we have more people living in poverty than any time in the history of this country, when the middle class to a significant degree is disappearing and whole lots of folks are working longer hours for low wages, when here in the state of Vermont people are finding it difficult to heat their homes in the wintertime, and we've cut back on Head Start and we've cut back on Meals on Wheels, et cetera, et cetera. I think for me, as a member of this budget committee, what I am fighting for is to make sure that we do not balance the budget on the backs of the elderly, the children, the sick, and the poor, the people who are already hurting very significantly in the midst of this economic downturn. On the other hand, what we have is more income and wealth inequality in America today than we've had since the 1920s. Wealthiest people doing phenomenally well, corporate profits in many ways very, very high. So I think what we have got to do is ask the wealthiest people in this country and the largest corporations to start paying their fair share of taxes. And then we've got to use some of that revenue not just for deficit reduction, but we've got to use it to create the millions of jobs that this country desperately needs. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
You know, among our constituents on this radio station and all the way down from Vermont to New York City is a very interesting situation that's developing, and that's the new mayor, incoming mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, is talking about funding pre-K for everybody based on raising the tax rates of the very wealthiest. Something sounds pretty familiar with what you just said. And there's hell to pay. The former governor, Pataki, has been put on a commission by the governor, who is also seems to be parsimonious when it comes to taxes. And I'm wondering what you make of that situation.
Well, I think de Blasio is exactly right. Number one, just the facts are that in the last 3 years that we have information, 2009 to 2012, Alan, 95% of all new income went to the top 1%. 95%, top 1%.
95% of all income.
All new income. So most people who are listening to the show, working people, they probably haven't gotten a raise, or they've gotten a little bit. But the people on top have gotten huge compensation benefits. They're doing very, very well. They're not getting 1%. They're getting 5%, 10%, 20%. Corporate profits are soaring. Meanwhile, what we know is that in terms of early childhood education, whether it's New York City, whether it's Vermont, we are in a disastrous situation. And what all of the studies tell us is that when you invest in little children, people from 0 to 3 years of age, the most important years of a person's life in terms of future development, when you invest in those years, those kids will do better in school. If they do better in school, they're not going to drop out. They will go out and become members of the middle class.
And they're less likely to go to prison.
Absolutely. So the right-wing mentality is, well, let's ignore all of that stuff. We're going to lock them up at $50,000 a year when they break the law after they have no jobs, they have no education. Many countries around the world are so much smarter than we are. They invest in their children. Their crime rates are a lot lower. A higher percentage of their kids end up going to college, becoming more productive citizens, helping their economy. So I think, number one, it is totally appropriate to start asking the wealthiest people in this country to start paying their fair share of taxes. And number two, one of the important areas that we should be investing in is our children, making sure that kids are getting the intellectual and emotional support that they need from 0 to 3 so that they do well in their lives. So I support very much what the mayor is proposing.
Let me throw you a curveball, Bernie. The president, in what some people call affordable care, or the cause Obamacare, has put over 40 million new people on the rolls, something I think he deserves great credit for. But we don't see him getting that credit for that thing. It's almost as if it's an invisible accomplishment that you put 40 million people, many of whom may be of color, many of whom may be poor. Is it that the middle class doesn't want to see this happen? What's going on?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. Our Republican friends have been unrelentless since the day after this legislation passed, in attacking it, in trying to defund it, and criticizing it in every single way. Yet, as you point out, what is a national disgrace is we are the only country in the industrialized world that doesn't guarantee health care to all people as a right. As I talk to you, Alan, I'm in Burlington, Vermont. I am an hour away from the Canadian border. Their system is not perfect. But what they have managed to do is provide health care to all of their people as a right, spending significantly less per person on health care as we do, and their outcomes are in many ways as good as ours. So the idea that today we have 48 million people who have no health insurance is absolutely not acceptable. Now, do I happen to think that the Affordable Care Act is the best solution? I don't. I think a Medicare for all single-payer system is much more efficient and would provide universal health care where Obamacare does not. On the other hand, your point is we should not minimize the fact that tens of millions of Americans will get health insurance. For some of these people, it will be the first time in their lives that they've had health insurance. And that is a very important step forward. Obviously, there are other components of the Affordable Care Act, doing away with this obscenity called pre-existing conditions. I mean, just incredibly vulgar, the idea that you can't get insurance when you most need it, if you've had cancer, if you had diabetes or whatever. The idea that younger people can stay on their parents' insurance programs is important. The idea that there's not going to be a cap on the amount of coverage that you can get is terribly important. So we're putting more money into disease prevention. And in fact, one of the also untold stories, Alan, it's not just that millions of people are getting health insurance, but one of the untold stories is, in fact, the rapidly escalating cost of health care that we have seen over the last many years is coming down a little bit, still going up, but it is now somewhere where general inflation is not two or three times higher than inflation, and that's very important as well.
Bernie Sanders, let me just move one tick to Medicare and Social Security. Are those programs, which used to be political footballs, I don't hear that much about Medicare. I hear more about Medicaid, which is for the poor. But have the Republicans learned their lesson on attacking Medicare?
No. Now, the Ryan budget of several years ago would have ended Medicare as we know it, transformed it into a voucher program by which they would have said to seniors, here's a check for something like $8,000. Here's your check, and good luck to you. And as you know, Alan, that would last you about 2 days or one day in a hospital. So no, they also are coming up with different schemes which would very heavily impact Medicare in a negative way. So no, they're still going against Medicare. In terms of Social Security, I'm the founder of the Defending Social Security Caucus, and I have to tell you, we have had to take on all of the Republicans, some of the Democrats, and the President of the United States, who has been very bad on this issue, in terms of opposition to a so-called chained CPI. I won't go into all of what that's about, but it's a formulation. It determines how we come up with the COLA, cost of living adjustment, each year. The proponents of the chained CPI, including billionaires like Pete Peterson and the Koch brothers, they are arguing that the COLAs that seniors get are too generous. They're too generous. Well, when I tell that to seniors, they literally laugh, because this year they're getting a 1.5%. Last year they got a 1.7%. Before that it was a 3-point-something%. And the two previous years it was zero. If anything, the way we determine COLAs for seniors underestimates their spending needs. It certainly is not too generous. So the fight continues. Let me tell you, we're fighting every day of the week to make sure there are not cuts in Social Security, not cuts in Medicare, not cuts in Medicaid. And as a member of the Budget Conference Committee, that is an issue I'm working very hard on.
Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, one of my personal heroes. Bernie, thanks. It's great to have you back. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the nuclear option.
Okay.